Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, this is Sister Judith. I pray for you every day that God will supply those miracles that you need of healing, of deliverance, of having every yoke destroyed by the anointing. Praise God. I love you. I want you to know that. Anyway, here we go. Yesterday I continued a message I began last week, the restored generation. And as text, we were looking at the third chapter of Acts, verses 19 through 21. Peter says, "Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And we are in a period of time. We know Jesus is coming. I shared an introduction yesterday in terms of what God wants. He's never changed the Great Commission. That is to have the good news preached to the uttermost parts of the earth, all that where people of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue will be able to hear the good news of the gospel and acknowledge Jesus as their Lord. And that Greek word for restoration, it says, Jesus, of course, is the restorer. Heaven must receive, it says, until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So God is doing a restoration. And by that, while there certainly may be improvements in terms of the world system before it gets really dark, with the globalist and one world plan of the Antichrist, yet I believe there will be a time, a season of grace and mercy where the church will be allowed to minister and be able to preach freely. Yes, I do know that in persecuted nations, or even we see that with the early church, persecution, the church grows with the blood of the martyrs. And that's a truism that has never been done away with. But in his mercy for this last final great harvest, you know, why do we pray for those in authority that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives? It's much easier in a time of peace and quiet for the gospel to be disseminated when there is active persecution where you have to hide and can't gather together. So God is not limited. He uses all manner of avenues that people can come to receive of his mercy and forgiveness. And what did John the Baptist say? In that first chapter of John, verse 29, he said, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Beloved, repentance goes hand in hand with restoration. We are all sinners saved by grace. And John was clear to point out in his epistles, don't everyone say, you know, I'm without sin, because you're a liar. We will never reach sinless perfection in this physical body, but we press on toward it. We desire at all times and in all ways to please our Father. If we sin, thank the Lord, John says, we have an advocate with the Father, that's Jesus, who will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, how can we as a people be restored? And many, God's people, we've gone through some really, really difficult times, so many major crises that I even just in a limited way I'm aware of with those of the in the UCM family or just in general Christians, what's going on. Beloved, God is going to heal. We're going to see his mighty hand of restoration. But beloved, repentance goes hand in hand with restoration. The first essential step to restoration is repentance. It leads to restoration. And that must be done not only personally in our own lives, but for the church. We have In this nation, we've been comfortable, we've been blessed, we've had plenty, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, has been sometimes the attitude. And the Lord said in Revelation, you don't realize how poor and naked and wretched you really are. And so when we are willing to repent, it opens the door to restoration. It opens the way for God to work anew and afresh in our lives. When we humble ourselves in repentance, God gives us grace. For 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this repentance, whatever the situation is, it may involve private or perhaps even public confession. What does James 5:15 says? Confess your faults, trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. It's hard to admit you've blown it, you've sinned, you've failed. We've all come short of the glory. However God leads, the important thing is the heart is repentant before God. And that amazing story of the prodigal son and the amazing long-suffering and faithful love of the father, there's recorded in Luke 15:21. When he came back to his father, the prodigal son, remember, he just went and had a high old time until he woke up. It says he came to himself. In other words, truth finally dawned. It's like, what am I doing? My father's servants have it better off than I do. He wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. I mean, but it took that. And sometimes, beloved, with your loved ones, let them go. The father didn't run after the son and he didn't plead with them. Oh, son, what did he do? He gave him the inheritance and off he went. Well, he needed to learn some lessons. Trust me, he learned them really well because he said, Father, he recognized what he had done. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What humility, what repentance. He was aware that he had lost the right. He had shamed his father. And that day, that's the last thing you'd ever do while your father was living, to ask for the inheritance. So, beloved, repentance involves a genuine change of mind, as well as a life choice and direction. As God's intention is to restore us, why? What it says, what does it say in the word? Till we all come to a perfect man, as Paul said in Ephesians, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who is that perfect man? It is Jesus. And so, beloved, that's a high standard. Will we ever measure up? We will be like him when he comes. Yep, we're going to be perfect when we're with Jesus, but we're striving now. Paul confessed, he said, he said, wretched man that I am, there's a constant war between the spirit and the flesh. Jesus told his disciples when he asked them to pray and wait with him in the Garden of Gethsemane in his final hours of suffering in the garden, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he so well understands, he identified with our humanity by becoming flesh and blood, absolute perfect man and verily, yet the Son of God. And we may not fully understand it, but he was our example. What he did under the anointing and leading of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do miracles as the Son of God. He did miracles as the Son, the Holy Spirit empowered him. That's why the word says, these signs shall follow all that believe. To do the greater works that Jesus did, even greater works? Well, that's because the same Holy Spirit, just as he was upon Jesus, he can come upon his people where signs and wonders will follow, just to show the mercy and the long-suffering of the Lord. So, beloved, where does that leave us? In our daily lives, we must constantly look at ourselves and repent of anything that is not Christ-like in our lives and ask the Lord, ask our Father for the Holy Spirit's help for us to be more like Jesus. Beloved, if we will truly repent, that will lead to restoration. And it's not just, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, but it involves an absolute determination with the grace and help of God to turn away from whatever it is, that besetting sin or whatever it is, that temptation, to avoid it and to move on into the fullness of sanctification. You know, if any man puts his hand to the plow, Jesus said he's not fit for the kingdom if he looks back. And it is God working in us both to will as well as to do of his good pleasure. Beloved, Jesus is restoring Zion. He's the restorer. And Zion in the Bible, let me share some quick references. Zion in the Bible is referred to literally and symbolically as a hill. Psalm 2 and 6, let me turn to that, which says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion." And then it refers to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 5, 6 to 9. "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites," this is David, "and the inhabitants of the land, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither." And it says, nevertheless, verse 7, "David took the stronghold of Zion," the same is the city of David. It's also symbolic of the church, the people of God. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 22 and 23, it says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." And the final scripture I'll share with you today is Revelation 14, 1, which says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion." That's a reference to heaven, beloved. "He stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." Praise God. All right, so this is what the Lord is about. The Spirit of God is doing. And we will continue on with tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can join me at the same time. Anytime you miss a broadcast, always feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast. But as always, in the moments that remain, if you are struggling, if you have needs in your life, if you need someone to agree with you, because there's power in agreeing prayer, then I invite you to write. The answer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day, my UCM partners, as well as my radio family. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.